sampled them from him, but it's not the same bass line.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yeah? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the
artist
to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright.
It's
fair enough. Hello. Welcome to the copyright experiment on CITR 101.9. You're here with Autonomy,
hey. And
myself, DJ Mochi, and I'm going to start things off by talking about a recent sort of meme, Bowers Harlem Shake. I'm sure you guys have all heard it. It's kind of blown up in the past year, but he had some samples on there which he didn't clear, so I wanted to sort of talk about the progression of that. So it basically started, what, about a year ago?
No, well,
more than a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would have cared when it started because nothing really happened when it actually did start. But the track, Harlem Shake, came out April 2012,
yeah,
which is quite a while ago.
Yeah, and I remember reading an interview and he said that, you know, he was basically just creating this track in his bedroom and he didn't think, you know, okay, I need to clear these samples. You know, he didn't even know these guys. I mean, if you were creating a track, you wouldn't bother, you know, trying to get the samples cleared because you probably couldn't even talk to the guys.
Yeah, I think DJ Mochi and I, both as, you know, bedroom producers, we it's pretty common in the electronic world to just take a sample and not really think much of it. Mostly because most of the samples that electronic musicians use are either not recognizable or you know, warped or just something done to it or it's so small you couldn't even recognize it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like this, yeah, it's very small samples he uses here. And, but anyways, there were two main people that were basically giving him problems. What were the two guys' names, Tim?
One guy was Hector Delgado, a reggaeton artist, whose stage name, I believe, is Hector... what was it? Hector El Father. Yeah.
And he was the Con Los Terroristas sample?
Yeah, that's what he did.
Yeah.
You know, in a bit, we're going to talk a bit more about it. A little later, we'll play those samples. You can see what you think of it. But yeah, so basically what happened was Harlem Shake was originally released as a two-song release out on Mad Decent's side label called Jeffries, which is a free label that was created by Mad Decent basically to avoid having to go through all the troubles of releasing all this music that they had. So they created a free label where they could just put out all this great music that they thought they had for free so that people would actually listen to it. And I mean, I guess it worked. But the funny thing about Harlem Shake was that it was released initially in April 2012, and then just a month later, it was pulled off of Jeffries and re-released on a Jeffries compilation, which was a commercial release. So it was released on Beatport and iTunes and all those digital download places. So and that was after it was kind of building a lot of buzz before it was even released. Actually, it was actually May that it was released. April is actually when it was first heard because Rusty played it in his essential mix on BBC Radio 1. Yeah, so that really started it off.
That mix had everything.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, that was a big turning point for it. I mean, this guy, nobody really knew who he was, and here's Rusty playing his track on BBC Radio 1. So yeah, that was really huge, and people started playing it out at like festivals and stuff. It was the beginning of summer, buzz was building, and then it released, and Mad Decent basically realized, oh man, this is kind of like a summer banger track. So they pulled the release and put Harlem Shake out on the compilation as a pay track, which kind of started all the problems, I think.
Yeah. Because then after that, it skyrocketed up to number one on iTunes. And was it also on the Billboard?
That was a little later. I think during that summer it got like a lot of buzz in the underground electronic world, but it didn't really gain any traction in like mainstream media.
Sure.
And it kind of like Bauer says, the reason we're kind of talking about this, Bauer recently did an interview where he kind of came clean, not necessarily came clean, but you know, started talking vocally about what happened and how he felt about it all and stuff. So and one of the things he says is that, you know, it kind of died down after most, you know, dance music tracks do, which are like 4 or 5 months later.
Yeah.
And then in the fall, it was kind of forgotten about until February, right? And that's when things got kind of weird.
Yeah, and then people started making all kinds of videos, and you know, that's when it started going up on the charts too as well. And believe it or not, Diplo said, and I quote... He says, honestly, that record was the thing that saved the label, because a year ago we were going to fold because we couldn't figure out how to make money. Then we just started giving out free music, and it worked out. So that to me is very interesting, because it's a track that was using samples that weren't cleared that saved them, but then giving away free music kind of led things to work out.
Yeah, it's very counterintuitive, eh?
Yeah.
As far as the music business goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably a lesson for just... the business in general and in the way that things are kind of moving.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess it kind of shows that a lot of the money you make isn't directly from the music sales. It's from, you know, the thousands of YouTube views that they got on their channels, which they got money for. What was it?
Yeah, so I guess for this track, I mean, they pulled in revenue from a lot of different sources, which for the music industry is kind of a new concept. Mm-hmm. That music... the major labels really only took money in from CD sales or record sales in the past, but now things have kind of changed and they've come around. And yeah, so on YouTube, for every 1,000 views of any video that contained the Harlem Shake song in it, for every 1,000 views, Mad Deason got $6. So, which, you know, it doesn't really sound like that, and it really isn't all that much, but when you think about how huge Harlem Shake was, that there were like... that in the first couple weeks there were like over 3,000 videos made, and each of those had, you know, an uncountable number of plays.
I mean, some of them had like hundreds of thousands of views, right?
Yeah the originals and the big ones had millions of views.
Yeah.
So it's kind of insane when you think about
that
sense.
Like one of those videos with a million views, that's $6,000 right there.
I mean, yeah. So I guess you can see why Diplo says it saved the label.
Yeah,
so.
and you know, it was number one also on iTunes and other places on the Billboard Top 100. So I'm sure they made some money from that, and it probably gave them some notoriety, if you will, or like, you know, it gave them some fame,
sure.
Which led people to buy their other releases and give them gigs, you know, playing DJ sets wherever, Bauer not included or included. Even though Bauer says he hasn't really seen any money from the song directly, which is kind of an interesting thing as well, because in that vein, he might as well have like almost released the song for free, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think he probably would have
anyway.
I mean, he did.
Yeah, he did it first.
And then the label who signed it decided to make some money off of it, right?
Yeah, and so. I mean, it's basically what happened, right? Is people tried to make money, and then the people who had their samples taken were like, okay, you know, I want a chunk of this pie now.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. I mean, there's a reason that both artists, Hector Delgado and the other guy, Jason, what's his name? Jason Musin. They both basically settled with Mad Deason. Nobody really wanted to like sue a little label, right?
Yeah.
They're not really worried about their like any defamation or the use of their artistic integrity or anything,
yeah.
Right? Pretty much, yeah, Jeff's right. Everybody just kind of wants a piece of the pie.
I mean, Musin even said, you know, like, I'm cool with it. That's what artists do. I think the production is phenomenal. If I was a spry young man, like I was many years back in the rapping day, I'd definitely be in the club trying to grind up on numerous lady folk to his song, spilling Maker's Mark and ginger ale on their shoulders. But I'm Buddhist now. So that's Musin, you know. He doesn't really care. And I think when it originally happened, he was one of the two artists, but he didn't really care about his sample being used particularly. But then, of course, the label that owned a part of what he did care, and they wanted the money as well. And then Delgado also felt like, you know, he was being wronged, and or at least felt like he wanted some money.
It's pretty ironic that Bauer, who hasn't seen any money from the song yet, is the author of the work, and holds the natural copyright for it. But everyone else is basically making the money off it. The tours, I mean, he's making money off the tours, but so is everybody else who works on the tours.
Yeah.
The companies that do online advertising are making money. Google's making money through YouTube. Warner is making money by distributing the song. Everybody's kind of making money off it except him so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, the lawyers are making money too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a quarter of the lawyer, you know, who said that Hector will get what he deserves. You know, we can turn around and stop that song. That's a clear breaking of intellectual property rights, which, I mean, frankly, that's bullcrap. You're not going to stop a song when it's already been distributed for a year.
Yeah, totally.
But, I mean, that's his job, it's, you know.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about, too, which I found very peculiar about this particular case of quote-unquote copyright infringement, I think Jeff and I use that term loosely because we don't necessarily... I would say we don't necessarily subscribe to the ways that copyright is enforced in North America or in the world. But one of the interesting things that happened was when before the song got really famous, there was a online battle that came to the surface with the rapper Azealia Banks, who was supposed to apparently they're working together to release a vocal version of Harlem Shake with Azealia Banks on it. Mad Decent apparently was unimpressed with her performance and decided not to release it. And Azealia Banks, being someone with a fiery tempo, I guess temper, I guess you could say, decided just to release it anyway. And so she put it out because, you know, it's her rapping over it. She wants people to hear it.
Yeah.
And Mad Decent and Bauer, basically, they took it down. They used, you know, SoundCloud's removal process. And they basically said, hey, this is our track, and we're going to take this down.
Yeah.
And which I found very ironic and a little peculiar, because basically what's happening is these people that made a track, and without the traditional consent of the original artists, are now, you know, claiming that their intellectual property is being infringed upon by someone else who's basically remixing and deriving their work.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's like the same process, but then I guess this is more of a, like, you're doing harm to us somehow or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is
right?
What they felt, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad.
No. Okay. All right, you can say that opinion. I'm not going to say anything negative about Azealia Banks on air, I think it's really peculiar, but at the same time, I don't think anybody could argue that Bauer took some of the creative potential of the samples used more than Azealia Banks did, for example.
Yeah, and like, I don't know how old those samples were, but I guess you can maybe tell what we're going to play. This is the sample where the Harlem Shake comes from, the words that he says before the drop.
Bombs, and if you bring a 40 bottle to battle me, I'll just punch you in your face, then do the Harlem Shake, 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 shake.
Yes, you can recognize that sample, I think, pretty clearly. The other one is... So that was just the... Plastic Little Miller Time is the name of the song. That was Jason Mewson. He's the guy who's, like, I guess, a Buddhist now.
Yep. Yeah, apparently he's a Buddhist now.
And this is the other one, Hector El Father. The song is called Los Terroristas. Do you know what the sample is?
Yeah, it's about. It's pretty right at the beginning.
You know, you can imagine Bauer sitting in his living room, he hears that sample, here's the other one, he thinks, oh, let's just throw these in. And, you know, in an interview he did, he said he was just kind of throwing random stuff together, stuff he hadn't heard. He wanted to make some kind of a wonky hip-hop beat with all kinds of weird noises and a lion roar. You know, for him, the lion roar was almost just humor, he said. And it's all just fun, and that's what people love, I think. That's one of the reasons it blew up in the way it did, in my mind. But regardless, you know, he took those two samples and made that pretty big track out of it. But, the one on the B-side, which was originally released, a song called Yao, was, I personally thought it was a little better.
Yeah, it was when I first heard the release when it came out in back in May of 2012. Oh, how young we were. when I first heard Harlem Shake, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a cool tune. And then I heard Yao, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
this is a real tune.
This is a banger, yeah. But so we'll play that one for you, and then we'll jump into our mix, yeah?
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing that I found really interesting about this case particular was that you could almost argue, I think, that all the people that capitalized on this song, the ones I talked about before, like iTunes, YouTube, Warner, lawyers. All these people that were the lawyers, all these people that were making money off it, obviously they didn't really know that they were infringing on the copyright of Hector El Father and Plastic Little, but I'm sure they were convenient about not asking where these samples came from.
Yeah.
And they didn't really care about it, to be honest. But at the same time, they're making money off the distribution. They have to run this distribution platform, and they're making money off these people's quote unquote copyrighted works. And I found that struck a really interesting parallel to just like 10 years ago when Napster got in a lot of trouble with the RIAA, who sued the hell out of them pretty much, and claimed that, you know, Napster was an enabler. They were distributing copyrighted material, and that was bad. But, you know, the big companies that are doing the same thing, that are distributing copyrighted material that they don't have the consent to do, it's kind of just largely ignored in this case.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I guess it just depends on who's doing it and where the money is in some cases.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, it's unfortunate to say that. But
yeah. Just all the more reason to start thinking differently about how copyright works in our society.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, last time we talked about the Creative Commons, which is a very interesting alternative to copyright, which allows you to have people remix this, and then you don't have to go through that trouble, and they can, you know, release it, and the artists can actually make money, and don't have to worry about all the lawsuits and everything. And
for sure,
as far as I'm concerned, letting the artists make money is what I'm about. You know, I think that's what should happen.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah. Let's get into the mix.
Yeah. So we have it's a little bit slower today, huh? The selection of music.
I wouldn't say it's slower, but it's definitely not as four on the floor like it was last year. I got some more like hip-hop derived beats, some chunkier rhythms and stuff.
Yeah.
So, it'll be a good mix. Starting out with the B-side of Harlem Shake way back when, which you can't even find anymore, but was released as a free track.
Yeah.
So you can hear that, and then after I'm going to play another obscure Bauer remix from a year or so back, and then some more tunes. We'll let you know what they are.
Yep. Alrighty. And once again, you are listening to CITR 101.9. This is the Copyright Experiment, and we'll be right back after we play some advertisements.
Right to Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Ever thought about studying abroad? Visit the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Thursday, September 26th at the Vancouver Convention Center East Wing to meet with universities from around the world offering post-grad, undergrad, and diploma programs abroad. Find out more about admission requirements, programs, and scholarships. Check out our travel zone for volunteering, language programs, adventure travel, and work abroad. Expo opens at 3 p.m., but come early at 2 p.m. for our feature seminar on scholarships. Admission is free. Check the website for more info at www.studyandgoabroad.com.
So this is unrelated, but definitely study abroad. I did, and it was the best choice I ever made. You're listening to CITR 101.9. This is the Copyright Experiment. Jumping into the mix here with Autonomy and DJ Mochi. First up is Yao by Bauer. Yao.
dibujo lo tengo yao, 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 yao.
Lo tengo triqueado, yao, 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 yao,
yao, yao,
yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao,
yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao,
Yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao, yao,
yao,
So this is a little known chiller side of Bauer. This is a remix of a guy named Abel out on, what is that label? I forget what it is. Run by Obey City and a couple of guys in New York. Astronautico is that label if you want to look it up.
A rowdy, ruddy pipe in a plumbing like Luigi.
Biatch,
can't believe they just took Gandolfini. Now I be playing Tony while these phonies playing Gigi. Yeah, until my past come back to Paula Dini, I'll be Primavera Pasta like it's prime time ZD. Won't hesitate to burn you like a CD. Big Daddy came watching Big Daddy on a TV.
Got a mason jar full of angel tears. We own the Geary, I'm a coma, ain't no angels here. Extraterrestrial, I'm cooling with some planeteers. This treasure island will be wildin' in the atmosphere. I'm being awfully cavalier with body ink. 420 stone slab, emoticon, frowny face. Super Saiyan trunks, and I still ain't lost my ankle weight. Meet me by the creek, we having brunch, I got the paper plates. Then it's back to my crib for some make escape. PlayStation power button, contemplating better days. We could split an eighth and empty 2020, play it safe. Transparent PNG, the centerpiece was too opaque. Hey.
I've been up all night trying to get there rich. I've been work, working on my shit. Milked the whole game twice, gotta get it how I live. I've been work, working on my shit. Feet in a red dirt, school skirt, sugar cane, back lane. Free job took years to save, but I got a ticket on that plane. People got a lot to say, but don't know shit about where I was made. Or how many floors did I have to scrub just to make it past where I am from.
This is Iggy Azalea, Work, DJ Unique on the remix.
Called Best by Love. The previous tracks were Benmar and Finesse's remix of Beyonce's Naughty Girl, and coming up is DJ Sega's Biggie theme.
I've been blessed by your love. to here with my friends. We could be friends. Shit, we could do this every weekend.
That's right.
Alright. Is that alright with you? Yeah. Keep banging.
Thank you.
The last track was Hexadecibel versus Subcore, No Hats Land. Coming in here is a remix of Lara Mavula's She. This is Hissy Fit on the remix, a friend of mine from Montreal. Listening to CITR 101.9. We're gonna go for some advertisements and we'll be right back.
On Friday, September 6th, it's the 30th annual AMS Welcome Back Barbecue at McInnes Field, featuring Felix Cartel, Current Swell, The Harpoonist and the Axe Murderer, and MGH of Glory Days. For more information, go to amsevents.ubc.com.
Free love on the free love freeway. The love is free and the freeway's long. I've got some hot love on the hot love highway. Ain't going home cause my baby's gone. She's not dead.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Soundtracking your free love on the free love freeway since 1982.
Long time later, see a cowboy crying. Says, hey buddy, what can I do? Says, I lived a good life, about a thousand women. I said, well, why the tears? He says, cause none of them was you. No, he's looking at a photograph.
Of you?
No, of his girlfriend.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9. You're listening to the Copyright Experiment with Autonomy and DJ Mochi. Yo, DJ Tamil! Drop us in, homie!
Yeah, it's your man, DJ Tamil. And when I'm up in Vancouver, I'm chilling and listening to 101.9, the best station in the whole Canada. What? I said it.
That was just K-Trinidad's version of Emery's Why Don't We Fall in Love. This is Snake, Yellow Call, and Spanker, Slow Down. This is released on Night Decent for free. All right, a lot of words. More music.
To make your daughter cry, I apologize. I woke up to this morning and figured I'd call you in case I'm not here tomorrow. I'm hoping that I can borrow a piece of mind. I'm behind on what's really important. My mind is really distorted. I find nothing but trouble in my life. I'm fortunate you believe in a dream. This orphanage we call a ghetto was quite a routine. And last night was just another distraction or a reaction of what we consider madness. I know exactly what happened. You ran outside when you heard my brother cry for help. Held him like a newborn baby and made him feel like everything was alright in a fight. He tried to put up with the type of bullet that stuck had went against his will. That's blood spilled on your hands. My plan's rather vindictive. Everybody's a victim in my eyes. When I ride, it's a murderous rhythm. And outside became pitch black. Could leave me glued to my back, whispering, get on my god, god, god.
Follow him, Jackson. Follow him for real. That blood meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize. Miss Jackson, follow him for real. And love meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Follow him for real. And love meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. That was just the Copyright Experiment, Autonomy in the Mix.
Yo.
And we're wrapping things up here. Had a good little show today. Is there anything you want to say in closing?
Yeah, well, if you like any of the songs you heard today, make sure you check out our blog. We got, we'll have later the podcast link, and so you can listen to the mix again, and we'll have links to all the songs we play on the show. That's every week. You can go to copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com, and we'll have everything up there for you.
Yeah.
Next up normally would be DJ Pierre with Oral Tentacles, but he's away right now, so you're gonna get a nice mix of CITR's top picks of tunes. So if you want to just chill out for a while, then you can do that for another 6 hours. Otherwise, join us next week, Thursdays 11, with the Copyright Experiment.
Thanks, guys.
Join Team PowerSmart. Set an energy conservation target of 10%. You'll get access to tools to help you conserve, and you can track your progress online. Visit bchydro.com/teampowersmart to join today. This message brought to you by BC Hydro PowerSmart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Of Canada is hosting the annual Kidney Walks to raise funds for treatment and programs. This year's Vancouver Walk is happening on August 25th at 11 a.m. starting at Asselitz Village. Register for the walk at www.kidney.ca/bcwalks and walk, run, bike, or pedal to support this amazing foundation and raise awareness for people suffering from this disease.
Hold on.
This is Jack Mercer from Jack Mercer and the Whiskey Bandits. You're listening to CITR 101.9.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Always a
boy DJ Mochi on the remix of Carly Rae Jepsen and Owl City. Some fucking drum and bass dick bullshit.